Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, you got some news for us this evening.
I do. Let's run through the list. So, a Montana Tech professor has stated he believes UFOs are not aliens, but time travelers. The phenomenon may be our own distant descendants coming back through time to study us in their evolutionary past, said Michael P. Masters, professor of biological anthropology. As evidence, he cites descriptions of extraterrestrials, as consistently humanoid in form. Well, it would explain why they seem so unusually interested in this planet, but never seem to do anything. Maybe it's just a history project. Uri Geller, the famous psychic, has announced plans to use telepathy to make Theresa May cancel Brexit, claiming that he made her prime minister in the first place by planting psychic impressions in her mind with Winston Churchill's old spoon. He has called on people across Britain to concentrate with him in order to change Theresa May's mind. As one Twitter user said, quote, "Can't believe we're at the point where Uri Geller is the only hope for my insulin," unquote. In robot apocalypse news, a machine that can make up to 100 cups of gourmet coffee per hour, or the output of 4 human workers, has been developed by a company named Brigo. No more lines, no more counter confusion, no more misspelled names, they say. Baristas tremble at its approach. And finally, of course, the Mueller investigation concluded last week to surprisingly little fanfare. Only the Attorney General's summary is available at the moment, but it indicates that no evidence of collusion with Russia on the part of the Trump campaign was found, and that Trump should not be indicted for obstruction of justice, although he could not be exonerated either, in a rather confusing statement. The full report is unlikely to be released to the public before weeks or months have gone by, if at all. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. I heard something that so today was one of those weird days. I normally don't listen to a lot of radio, but I made it a point to listen to some Mark Levin today.
Are you okay?
And some Tom Hartman, which is like both sides of.
So do you remember either of them, or did they just cancel out in your mind and leave a blank void?
Well, the one thing that they left is that both of them are on the attack at the other, you know.
Well, that's like their job, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's just weird how nothing changed. You know, people, I am not a fan of Trump, but I never thought he was a James Bond supervillain.
Indeed.
You know.
Wasn't I saying that the Mueller report was unlikely to change any minds when it actually came out?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. But, I am definitely not a fan of Trump, but I was in no way rooting that he was, like, some sort of agent of Russia, some sort of, you know, sleeper agent.
Well, I'm just happy it's over, frankly.
Yeah, but I feel like people are rooting.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and it's
because people wanted him gone. They wanted undeniable evidence that he'd done, you know, something so heinous that he would have to be impeached.
Yeah, but now all those other things that they were going after him for will be tainted. You know, so they were going after him for
emoluments.
Abuse of power and several other things.
It's a long list.
And so they're not really going to be able to go after him for those things any longer.
Well, they can, but, like, there's not going to be a special counsel appointed.
Yeah,
there's
not going
to be an investigation.
Right. There's not going to be any support.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know.
It's just going to be, you know, hand-wringing.
Right. But I do feel that, you know. Now, the Mueller report, a lot of people, I would like to remind people that the Mueller report was not about Trump and collusion. The Mueller report was about the involvement of the Russian government in manipulating our election.
Yeah.
The Trump collusion was a part of that. So the Mueller report was very
necessary. It was about that, but it was only part of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. The Mueller report was very necessary, regardless of what ended up being the case. But I mean, with that being the case, I think somebody should get caught being a manipulator of the situation, you know?
Well, I think, like, 12 Russian nationals were indicted.
No, I mean somebody should be caught for basically pointing the finger repeatedly at Trump. I think, sure, I'd love somebody to be caught and start taking responsibility when it's a Republican instead of a Democrat. That'd be great. But I really don't care where we start. We need to start getting some people in the government who are making this stuff happen and tell them to knock it off.
Yeah, well, I still don't think anyone just, like, made this stuff up. I mean, it was reasonable to think that. Want there to be an investigation.
I don't know. I think people were throwing a bunch of BS fuel on the fire.
Well, that's certainly true. But
people that we elected.
That's the yeah.
Yeah. People that we elected. The media, you can't come down on them. They're just doing their job by making everybody crazy, so they'll watch more. You know, that's their job.
I do kind of come down on the media.
Yeah. You know, I mean, go back and have them figure out how exactly they got people to watch. Literally. 9 hours a day of just O.J. Simpson driving a Ford. You know, it's like, that's their job. Their job is to drive people crazy.
People making political hay over a legal matter is not a crime. It's just a jerk move.
Yeah. Well, this is nowhere near over.
No, unfortunately not. But I feel like a big portion of it is over. And I am willing to guess that for, you know, 70% of Americans, it's over.
Yeah, any talk of impeachment, I'm sure, is over.
It's completely over at this point. Yeah,
I agree. Coffee robot baristas. Who didn't see that coming? There was a joke about it on SNL like a year ago. It's
happening.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like some craftsmanship with my coffee, I guess, but... you know, I also made mine from a Keurig that I'm sitting here drinking, so I can't complain too much.
Well, service industry employees will just have to start donating blood or whatever.
Well, you know, they're just going to have to invent their own jobs and find new jobs because they're going to need to make the same amount of money, if not more, in a world with less jobs. Because for some reason, when we create machines to do jobs for people, it takes none of the load off of people. It just puts more load on them to find and come up with other jobs. You know, we need some sort of situation where people now work 7 hours a day, you know. And for anybody out there that's arguing this, you know, back in the day, one man would milk a cow for his family. Now one man will create enough milk from cows for like 40,000 people. One guy with a bunch of robot teat suckers.
And yet we still work 40 hours a week.
And yet we still do this. This is not... right. It isn't right unless we have some common goal to elevate ourselves, to get out into space or to fix the environment or something else that I'm not even thinking. Granted, there's a lot of other things that I might not be thinking, but solely perpetuating a world of retail with no alleviation of work when we're creating more and more robots to do people's work is not practical.
Yeah. Well, there is a reason for it. Starts with a C and ends with capitalism.
Well, no, I understand. No, I'm not saying we should stop capitalism. Good luck with that. All right. No time to get to the rest of this. Yuri Keller and the spoon, whatever. All right. Tonight's guest is Assistant Professor of Religious Studies at Texas State University. His previous books include Vampires Today, The Truth About Modern Vampirism, and The Seer of Bayside, Veronica Lukin, and The Struggle for Catholicism. His book tonight that we're going to be talking about is called Dangerous Games, What the Moral Panic Over Role-Playing Games Says About Play, Religion, and Imagined Worlds.
I'm so excited.
I think we all are. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back with Joseph Laycock.
You're the capitalist. Moving in on you. Can't you feel my breath? All up around your neck. Hey, CC,
They say you jive and game and can't be changed. But on the positive side, you're my piece of the rock, and I love you.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Joseph Laycock. Joseph, do we have you there with us? Joe, you there? I don't know. Apparently we have lost him or disconnected from him or something of that sort, so we're going to work on getting him back. Jared, maybe you can try making that call again, I guess. And, you know, this is something I'm personally really excited about because I was a D&D nerd.
Yeah. It's a good thing this didn't happen on a show about, like, ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs or something.
Why?
We would have nothing to say, you know, but
we are
D&D nerds.
Luckily, I was an ancient Egyptian hieroglyph nerd when I was
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I think I was talking about this last weekend, so, like, I had this, Joe, do we have you there with us?
You sure do.
All right. We were filling some time while we took care of technical issues. I assume Joe is okay?
Joe's good.
All right. My name's Chauncey Haworth, and this is Kara Kittrick, my co-host. And we're really excited to talk to you because, you know, Kara's quite a bit younger than I am and has enjoyed some role-playing here recently, and I was a role-playing game nerd in the 80s. So this is like a perfect topic for me.
Near and dear to our heart.
It is near and dear to my heart, very much so. So, you know, what spurred you to want to write about this, you know, to pursue this? Is there somebody in your life, or what's going on there?
Well, you know, when I was in a middle school or at a prep school, I got bullied by a kid who was a lot bigger than me and on this kind of anti-D&D bandwagon. Ugh. And he said, "You guys worship gods from books, and that's really sad."
Yeah.
And it was an Episcopalian prep school, and I couldn't quite articulate it at the time, but I'm like, we're told every morning in chapel to worship a god from a book.
Right. Exactly.
Who's really worshiping gods from books? And so it took a long time for me to articulate exactly what I wanted to say, but there was something very strange about this Christian panic over Dungeons and Dragons. And it wasn't really until I had a PhD and had studied the sociology of religion that I felt like I knew exactly what I wanted to say about it.
Yeah. So, you know, how, I guess that's a great place to start. How do we think this panic about Dungeons and Dragons even came about? Because it seemed like D&D, we're going to use D&D as an example. There were tons of role-playing games. There's been tons since. But, you know, it seems like all of that was flowing so much under the radar. How did it come to such heavy attention?
Well, I think there's two ways you can look at it. I mean, on one hand, this may have been inevitable. So this was what in sociology is called a moral panic, right? This is like the Red Scare or the Salem witch trials or any number of things where the community, you know, decides that something is a threat to our very existence and we have to sort of rally against it. And in the literature on moral panics, it says what you need to have a really good moral panic is you need one, some innocent who is under attack, and then you need an enemy who isn't strong enough to actually fight back. So D&D is perfect. You've got these innocent children being seduced, and you've got, you know, a shoestring budget role-playing game company. Nobody can really challenge your claims if you want to say this is a satanic game.
Right.
From the other side of things, there were some historical moments that kind of kicked this all off. Dungeons and Dragons was published in 1974, and in 1979, you had this famous case of Dallas Eggers, who disappeared from Michigan State University, and he was from a wealthy family who hired a detective named William Deere, who gave a press release and said, "I think I know why this child disappeared. He played too much Dungeons and Dragons, and he entered a fugue state and is currently wandering around believing that he lives in a medieval world." None of that was true. The kid called his family from New Orleans a few weeks later and said, "I'm ready to come home." But by then, the story was in the press. And so that was sort of the beginning of this idea that this was more than a game, that it had profound, dangerous psychological consequences to it.
A-plus detective work.
Yeah, totally. Way to phone
I'd that. Like a job where I can just make stuff up.
Yeah.
Well, actually, other than this.
Yeah, well, let's talk about satanic panic for a little bit. It's like how much I've been under the impression that there's never actually been a proven satanic killing ever.
That's pretty much true. I mean, it depends on what you count as satanic. You have figures like Richard Ramirez, right, who certainly killed people and said that he was a Satanist. You have an incident in Matamoros, Mexico in 1988 where a spring breaker was killed by a drug cartel. But there really is nothing like this sort of organized criminal a satanic group that kills for the sake of religion. It's almost always, if there's anything at all, it's a drug cartel or it's some sort of other criminal organization. So, yeah, this is mostly something that existed in the public's imagination, and it still does with things like Pizzagate, right? Pizzagate was very much a part of the satanic conspiracy theories.
Yeah, but I've always been just surprised that how this satanic panic really just took over everything. It's like, I guess we were at the beginnings of the moral right and the sort of influence of church into the Republican Party, and then we had Reagan coming in, and you know, because prior to that, the Republican Party wasn't quite the the party of religion that it maybe evolved into. And so was it just churches fueling the fear to get parents and flocks to watch their children? Or I just don't really understand how it took over so heavily.
Well, we still don't fully understand it. It needs to be studied more. But a couple of things. So in the 1970s, when people said they were scared of cults, they meant actual religious groups that really existed. They meant the Hare Krishnas and the Unification Church, also called the Moonies, and this kind of Christian sex group called the Children of God. And this is partly because in 1965, immigration laws changed, and suddenly there were a lot more Asians in America, and some of them were missionizing for their religion. And so in the 70s, there was real fear of mind control and that cults could brainwash you and things, and that colored the reception of Dungeons and Dragons, especially terms like Dungeon Master, right? Really, really scared people. By the 80s, it was pretty clear that the Hare Krishnas were not going to take over America. Right. That was no longer a threat. But the fear changed from being afraid of groups that really exist to groups that actually only exist in the imagination. And it's not really clear why this happened exactly when it did. David Bromley is a sociologist, and he thinks that one factor was this was the beginning of economic changes where households were switching from being one income to two income. And what that means is that you need to have other people taking care of your kids, right? You need to have send them to piano lessons and soccer practice, and you have to pay for daycare, and they have to ride the school bus. And one weird aspect of the Satanic Panic was a lot of the suspicion was placed on people who ran daycare centers, right? This fear that while you're at work, the daycare provider is torturing your children in satanic rituals. And so what David Bromley kind of hypothesized is that even though there aren't really Satanists controlling your children, it felt like there were, right? These families were really reluctant to turn their kids over to all these other people, but they had to for economic reasons. And so the idea of satanic cults are coming for our kids, it sort of began in the mind almost as a kind of metaphor. And then what was sort of a metaphorical way of talking about a changing social structure became literally true. And suddenly people were really claiming that those daycare providers are agents of Satan and are torturing children.
Yeah, I always thought it was weird because, like, at the time, I remember, you know, my mom was pretty forward-thinking. She was old enough to be my grandparents, so she was born in, like, 1936. And she never really seemed to have much of an issue with any of the role-playing games and stuff like that. But I would hear it, and we would talk about it, and then I'd find myself sitting in my group of friends and looking around at these people wondering how could anybody be scared of any of us.
You know? Oh, I know. I mean, this was really when I first realized as a child that the grown-ups don't know what they're talking about. Right? Yeah, so they act like they do, but how could anyone possibly think that this had something to do with danger or criminal activity? We're right here in the living room.
Right, yeah, and we're at home, and we're probably drinking obscene amounts of 2-liter sodas, but you know, that's about it. You know,
doing Cheetos, yeah,
right. You know, but to me, that was some of the greatest times of my life. Joe, we're coming up on break here. You're listening to Assistant Professor of Religious Studies at Texas State University, Joseph Laycock, and we're talking about his book, Dangerous Games, What the Moral Panic Over Role-Playing Games Says About Play, Religion, and Imagined Worlds. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
We'll be right back. is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Paid for by Brian Daly for Senate, 2019.
Kevin Kiley voted to help illegal immigrants who are convicted criminals stay in our country. He voted to spend tax dollars helping illegal immigrant students get financial aid. Kevin Kiley worked for Liberal Democrat Kamala Harris, who supports amnesty and let illegal immigrant criminals go rather than prosecute them. Now, Kevin Kiley is distracting voters from his liberal illegal immigration record by deceitfully attacking Brian Daly. The truth is, as Assembly Republican leader, Brian Daly led the fight against sanctuary cities and has always opposed amnesty. Unlike Kevin Kiley, Brian voted against wasting our tax dollars on illegal immigrants. Brian Daly, endorsed by six county sheriffs because he's tough on crime and illegal immigration. Brian Daly, A-rated by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association because he protects our tax dollars. Reject Kevin Kiley's deceitful smear campaign. Fight amnesty and illegal immigration. Send Reagan Republican Brian Daly to the Senate on March 26th.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460.
You gotta have fear in your heart. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Joseph Laycock. We're talking about his book, Dangerous Games, What the Moral Panic Over Role-Playing Games Says About Play, Religion, and Imagined Worlds. I had the thought during the commercial break that really what you were starting to say right towards the end of the last portion of our discussion was that a big part of the Satanic Panic and the connections to D&D had a tie-in. This was because of your saying the daycares had a tie-in with the sort of rise of stranger danger that was going on at the time.
Right. There was this idea that this was about corrupting children, right? That what the Satanists really wanted to do was to make our children into Satanists. And one of the ways that they could do this, along with heavy metal music and other things like that, was this game that sort of lures people in and gradually changes how they think and eventually makes you kill yourself or kill other people. And once that idea was out there, police began using D&D to explain all sorts of crimes that were clearly the result of, crimes of passion or just stupidity. In an extreme case, there were two kids they found in a trailer who'd been playing Russian roulette, with the revolver. It would seem to be a pretty open and shut case until the police found, an eight-sided die or something in the trailer. And they said, aha, it's another D&D murder. that was a factor, was this idea of we have to protect the children, right? This is about saving the kids from the machinations of the Satanists.
I do have to throw in that statistically, all the people who have killed themselves in the last year, and don't get me wrong, I feel terrible for that, but statistically, I bet you 90% of them have heard songs by Ariana Grande. assumption that Ariana Grande is at fault here.
You're right, and this is highly alarming.
Highly alarming. So, I don't know, the idea of finding the eight-sided dice, and I guess, at the time, though, that eight-sided dice must have been very foreign and sort of looked like a rune or looks like something weird.
Well, that's a good point, right? The game was very mysterious, and a lot of the people in the panic, would open up these books, and they just couldn't understand what they were reading, right?
Yeah.
And then they had really scary covers in the 70s, right? If you ever look at the old covers, there's these enormous they're actually Ifrit genies, but they're big and red, and they have horns and fire coming off of them. By the 80s, they said, we can't have covers like that anymore, guys. It's bringing too much heat down on us. But that was part of it, right? It was how new and alien this all seemed.
Yeah, and then they sort of switched over to the Vargas art style. Is it Vargas? The sort of famous sword and sandals, dragons, super buff and sexy people fighting dragons.
I don't think Frank Frazetta.
Frazetta, that's the name I'm looking
for. Certainly Frank Frazetta-esque.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And it's weird because, you would think nowadays parents seem to have much more of an issue with sexuality than they do with violence.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Although there was strange stuff too in the first edition of D&D. Like there's famously in the Dungeon Master's Guide, there is a prostitute table where if the party meets a prostitute, you roll a die, and maybe it's a wanton wench, or it's a saucy tart, or it's a brazen strumpet, or something. And I think these were mostly just added as a joke, kind of to see what would happen. And, of course, you can imagine what the Christian Rite did when they found the prostitute table deep in the back of the Dungeon Master's Guide.
Right, yeah. The brazen strumpet, man. If ever I open a restaurant, yeah, that's what it's called. I don't even know what that means. That's awesome. I have to admit that, some of the first nudity I ever saw came from D&D books. It might have been part of the thing that got me involved.
It was probably like a harpy, though, or a
It was.
Alania.
It was, or the succubus, or, the Egyptian cat goddess Bast. There was a lot of nudity going on up in there. Let me ask this first, and I think that there probably is no statistics to follow this, but do we know of anybody who was driven to some level of insanity or suicide or social problems on a serious level due to Dungeons and Dragons or any role-playing game for that?
No, we don't. There was actually a mathematician who wrote a book about how people don't understand numbers and statistics, and he used the panic over Dungeons and Dragons to prove his point. So Patricia Pulling, her son committed suicide in 1982, and she blamed this on playing Dungeons and Dragons in his English honors class in high school. And she formed a group called Bothered About Dungeons and Dragons. And she was really a terror for Dungeons and Dragons in the 80s, and she would be hired by law enforcement to talk about the dangers of this game. But she kept what people called the Patricia Pulling trophy list. So she kept a list of all of these cases of murders and suicides where there was some tangential connection to Dungeons and Dragons. And even if we accept that all of those were connected to Dungeons and Dragons, which I don't think any of them were, if you actually add up how many people commit suicide every year, it actually suggested that statistically D&D makes you less likely to commit suicide, not more likely. And I actually found a really interesting case from the 80s with a therapist, and he had a teenager who was involved in self-harm, and he was cutting himself and things like this, and was playing Dungeons and Dragons. And he would play a lawful evil character, and then the therapist would talk to him about, you know, the decisions that his character made in the game. And this was really controversial, right, that you could choose to play an evil character. And he said, you know, this was a huge breakthrough because he could actually talk about – it was a way of talking about thoughts that were sort of otherwise forbidden, and he could sort of – by talking about the lawful evil character, all this stuff came out about his father, and the kid kind of got better. So there's more evidence that Dungeons & Dragons is therapeutically healthy than that it causes suicide.
Yeah, for me, I played D&D until about ninth grade, so I was all about D&D and Doctor Who. And then in ninth grade, I got into wanting to get a girlfriend and punk rock. And so I had these two separate groups of friends. And now that I'm an adult, I look and I know these friends thanks to Facebook, and I look back on both of them, and the ones who are doing much better in life are the ones who are the D&D nerds. Those are the ones who, one of them is a storyboard artist for DreamWorks, business owners, confident, happily married, long-term relationships, no drug problems, you know, and that second group of friends, not so much.
And I do think there's an argument that, role-playing games really help you think about the consequences of your actions.
Yeah.
It's kind of a way of meditating. Well, what would happen if I did this? What would happen if I did that? There are other subcultures where thinking before you do something is considered to be, you know, cowardly or makes you a sellout or something. I think D&D is a pretty healthy activity for a lot of reasons.
And really sort of promotes creativity and promotes thinking outside of the box and problem solving. And I really felt that it was very positive, a very eye-opening part of my existence.
Yeah, me too.
So, the one thing that I think I lost track of what I was thinking. There's just so much, you know, this is really like opening the vault of my memories. Here it is. We're coming up on commercial break. So I finally thought of it, and we'll bring it back on commercial break. But I have this theory, and I'm by no means a sociologist, but I'm going to run it by you. And it's basically about how the end of things like D&D is what's causing more suicides today. You're listening to Joseph Laycock talking about his book, Dangerous Games, What the Moral Panic Over Role-Playing Games Says About Play, Religion, and Imagined Worlds, right here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. We need to change. Somebody told me when I came to Nashville, son, you finally got it made. Old Hank made it here. We're all sure that you. No, I don't think Hank done it this way. Okay.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, Professional Cleaning Services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking with our guest, the Assistant Professor of Religious Studies at Texas State University, Joseph Laycock. Okay, so before the break, I stumbled through this idea that I have, and I've been talking to my wife about it. My wife actually has a degree in sociology, and so this is a topic she likes. And I can't help but to think that the reason why suicides are going up and the reason why mass shootings are going up and these things are going up is that people feel extremely marginalized by the lack of cliques that once existed. When I was a kid, I was nerdy, I was different, and I was weird, and I had some place to go. I was able to go hang out with these other nerdy, weird kids. And we created our own group, our own world of safety. And now it seems that the world has become so homogenized and so everybody wanting to be kind of the same thing. I think it takes those really just sort of off to the side weird kids and leaves them with nobody. It leaves them alone. They don't have a clique to go to. And I guess that's the extent of what I was trying to think. What's your take on that, or do you have one?
Well, I think what's really important about these role-playing games is that they, you know, you create an imaginary world to inhabit. And there's a lot of literature on sort of the function of imaginary worlds. One term that I like that was used for them was paracosms, right? So you have the world as it is, and then you have a paracosm. And I think that actually that there is a real kind of power and autonomy with just knowing that the world is one way right now, but it could potentially be a different way.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, very much so, yeah.
And so when you find yourself thinking, well, I guess this is it. I have to go shoot up my school because I'm an incel or something like that. Right. This is someone who has really come to the conclusion the world can only ever be one way. Right. Mm-hmm. This is it. I don't really have a choice. And I think these things are connected because I think that on some deep level, some of these Christians who criticize Dungeons and Dragons understood if these kids realized that kind of much of what we call reality is just socially constructed and it could easily be a different way, that's going to make these kids a lot harder to control, right? They'll be more likely to question what they're told. So I think there's a lot of power just in these exercises of the imagination, and I think it leads to a lot of things, and I think one of them is probably not getting so worried or having such fatalistic outlooks on your life.
Yeah, totally. You definitely put an exclamation or clarified my own thought better. So Kara had a good question here. She wanted to know, how did the moral panic end, or did it? I mean, we seem to have gotten our way out of that. You know, what got us out of there, or are we even out of it?
We're not out of it. I mean, nothing ever really goes away. I think Pizzagate showed that. I mean, fortunately, no one was harmed in that episode, but I think there are a lot of people in America who believe that people are regularly being, you know, tortured by secret satanic cults that control some of the highest levels of government. So we haven't really made much progress since the 1980s. If there's any difference at all, it's just that law enforcement and the judicial system are less gullible than they were. But I think the average person on the street still totally thinks that Satanists are lurking in every closet. What helped to bring things around, first of all, a group formed called the Committee for the Advancement of Role-Playing Games in the 1980s to combat groups like BAD, bothered about Dungeons and Dragons. And so it's kind of like standing up to a bully, right? Once there were actually people going on the offensive and showing how ill-informed these people were who were making these claims, that helped a lot. And slowly, you know, Patricia Pulling got sick, unfortunately, with cancer and died. Thomas Radecki, who was a psychologist who had worked with her, was indicted on ethical issues. And so those fronts kind of began to crumble and the panic went away. And then finally, when 9/11 happened, we had something totally new to be afraid of. I think actually 9/11 was what really reduced the level of the panic. But these things continued to flare up. So after the haze the heyday of the 80s, which is what most people think of this occurring in the 1990s, this started all over again with Vampire the Masquerade, right? Different role-playing game, but same set of fears. People play this game, and they think they're vampires, and they go out and commit crimes. So I think it's always there. It's just that certain social events will kind of tip off the panic.
Yeah, it does seem, though, that with cartoons, I have to admit I am still a nerd at heart, so I am a big fan of a lot of cartoons, that they had taken out all sorts of occult or anything like that, like comic books were hardcore occult until the 70s and 80s, and they all went into space, and now it was all space battles and stuff. So the X-Men, you know, started out battling like devils and demons, and they end up battling space aliens because that's easier. But like even in the 90s on that, let's say, what's the one with the three supergirls, the Powerpuff Girls? They had a bad guy named Him, and it was like a devil. And you slowly start to see this stuff kind of filter back into kids. So I'm kind of interested to see if we'll see an all-new SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the 1960s, in the 1960s, Satanism was interesting and neat. When Anton LaVey founded the Church of Satan, people just thought it was a neat thing, and he was covered in the press, and no one thought this had anything to do with, you know, killing babies or anything like that. And suddenly we got a lot more scared of that sort of thing. It could swing back the other way, but I don't see that happening anytime soon. I think we're still pretty scared of the devil and Satanists.
Yeah, well, it's an odd one. Well, Joseph, we're coming up on the end here. I have to tell you, normally I tell people off the show, but I know We would love to have you on to talk about your other two books. Kara and I, during the breaks, we were looking at them and we were saying, man, we got to have this guy back. We want to talk about these other books. So hopefully you're interested in coming back sometime. And at the end of the show here, I want to give you a chance to tell the audience where to find out a little more about you and where to get their hands on your book.
Sounds great.
Oh, yeah, but where would they get their hands on their book?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to commercial or something. I'm so sorry. The best
playing
way
it
to
mysterious.
Get...
That's fine.
The best way to get a copy of Dangerous Games is just go on Amazon. It's the book with the big red demon on the cover. It's an homage to the old D&D books. If you don't want to pay the cost of a book from a university press, ask your local library to order a copy. And then you can read it, and then when you're done with it, somebody else can get it. And if you want to catch up on anything else that I've been doing, just Google Joseph Laycock. It's kind of a rare last name. My website will be the first thing that comes up.
Sounds good. And, yeah, like I said, you have been definitely the closest thing to a collegiate expert that we've had on, you know, because, like, you know, normally we do paranormal and I keep wanting to find somebody who, like, has some deep insight into this stuff, and man, you have some deep insight, and I really appreciate it, and I've really enjoyed listening to it.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, you've been listening to Joseph Laycock on Radio Wasteland. His book, once again, is Dangerous Games: What the Moral Panic Over Role-Playing Games Says About Play, Religion, and Imagined Worlds. And you can find that on Amazon. That's where I found it. That's where you can find it. Thanks for checking us out.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health,
Your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.